I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Bowden Blitz ACC edition. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, a huge slate of action in regards to the conference for week number 7, but we're going to turn back the clock, look at week number 6, and we'll start in Cal in Berkeley. Miami pushed to the limit in back-to-back weeks. Cam Ward and the Hurricanes survived 39-38. Give me your thoughts about what you saw transpire last Saturday night.
Yeah, I think Miami's getting what they deserve. Miami, it's clearly a college football playoff team, but they're making mistakes and putting themselves in a bad situations. Defensively, they gave up four big plays, four 50-yard-plus passes in that football game. Can't do that, especially in one football game. But maybe what concerns me the most is that Cam Ward, probably the best quarterback in the country, I think so, the biggest guy, their entire team depends on him more than any other team in the country, depending on their quarterback. He makes some lapse of judgment decisions that really hurt them. For example, right before half, it was 3rd and 6, almost in field goal range. You got a chance for one more little play. He takes a 17-yard sack that knocks them out of everything for no reason at all. He just keeps running backwards. Then the very first play of the second half, he throws across the body, across the field, pass that was to nobody in particular. They catch it, return it for a touchdown, and now they're down 14-3, and the rest of the game is playing catch-up. I just think they're going to be favored in every game this year. Louisville may be the closest. They've got a chance to win it all this year. They've got to not beat themselves, and I'm afraid they're going to have to lose to get everybody's attention.
Yeah, now when you look at Cam Ward, Coach, he completes 35 of 53, 437 yards, two big touchdown passes. You can make the argument that if Cam Ward wasn't the quarterback of the Miami Hurricanes, maybe they don't win the last couple of games against Cal and against Virginia Tech. The biggest thing and takeaway that I've seen in regards to the team, as sloppy as they played on both sides of the ball, is the second half adjustments. Mario Cristobal and the staff did adjust in-game, especially in the fourth quarter and back-to-back weeks, right? That was something you could make the argument last year and in years past they would lose those type of ball games. So that has to be a bright spot heading into week number 7 and beyond.
Yeah, I think the strategy has been great. I mean, the whole decision to recruit Cam Ward starts there, but the strategy in the second half has been fantastic in two big football games. And again, the good thing for Miami is you go back, it's very correctable mistakes. Very correctable mistakes. Defense can play a ton better because I think they've got an outstanding defense skill-wise if they don't make mistakes, but they do have the best quarterback in the country. He can bring that team from any down. I think if they're down no matter what, he has a way of bringing them back, and no team in the country, maybe no program in the country, depends on a quarterback as much as Miami and Cam Ward.
Coach, when you see the past few 6 weeks, the last 6 weeks of Miami season, from an offense and defensive line perspective, going up against, let's say, the likes of Ohio State, Texas, Georgia, Alabama in terms of that regard, do you feel Miami is on the same level in terms of the interior line play as well?
Well, you know, I think Virginia Tech pushed Miami around a little bit. They couldn't get Virginia Tech off the field. They can play better. They've got as good a defensive front, good pass rushers. But again, it can be better. That's the whole thing. Maybe the talent level will improve when the team they're playing improves, but they can be better than that. They've given pretty good protection to Cam Ward, but you got to remember, if you put too much pressure on Cam, his biggest threat sometimes is with his legs, and so people won't rush quite as hard. They'll cage rush him and keep him locked in. We'll probably see that against the better teams and not let him run the ball like he can do when nothing is open.
Yeah, we'll talk about Miami in the coming weeks for Cal. They do face an undefeated opponent in the Pitt Panthers. We'll break that game down a little bit later in the show. But I do want to talk about a few other teams that surprised in the conference this past week. It started on Friday night. Kyle McCord with another huge performance. They knock off UNLV on the road in overtime. Fran Brown has this team playing at an elite level. They're 4-1 overall and potentially a dark horse in the ACC this year.
Really they are. I've watched them play, but more than I've watched them in the past, their quarterback is outstanding. He'd get so much more attention if he's one of the top 5 or 10 teams. Everybody starts watching this guy, but Syracuse has won some close games. They're very comfortable. The coach has got them believing they're going to win. That's been the problem at Syracuse the last couple of years. I think they lost that edge they had back about 5 years ago when they got their new head coach from Bowling Green that came in, but they have lost that edge. Now they've got it back. And this team, I guarantee, it's going to be a real dogfight as to who jumps into that conference championship, or at least some of these teams getting to a good bowl, having a winning season, and pushing themselves, like Syracuse is, in the right direction.
Yeah, Kyle McCord completes 40 of 63 passes, 355 yards, 3 touchdowns. And like I mentioned, Fran Brown taking over for Dino Babers. The expectation in the bar wasn't as high this coming season in terms of year number one. How impressive is that? Because you've taken over losing programs before. You did it at Akron. You turned around that program in about 2 or 3 seasons. How impressive is it for Fran Brown in year number one to already have 4 wins?
It's incredible. I think it's just a great credit to him and how he's done it. Because Dino Babers, I coached against him with Bowling Green. He did an outstanding job, and he got Syracuse moving in the right direction. But they got away from what he does best of play fast and throw deep, and they got away from that. And I think the Fran's coming here and done a great job getting their confidence, finding a quarterback that can play as well as he does, and then winning close ball games for a team like Syracuse trying to change. There's an old saying, if you're going to turn a program around, you lose big, then you lose close, then you win close, then you win big. It looks like he's missing the lose close and getting to all the win close games.
Another coach that has turned around the fortune of their program is Tony Elliott, the former Clemson offensive coordinator, struggled in the first couple of years in Charlottesville. He does get the victory over Thomas Castellanos and Bill O'Brien last week at home. They win that matchup. They're 4-1 on the season. They square off against Louisville this week. What about the job that Tony Elliott has done in terms of Virginia turning around that program in year number three?
Yeah, I'm so proud of Tony. I was kind of his analyst at Clemson for a couple of years before I went to ULM, and he's the kind of guy that you want to win. They went some incredible difficulties at Virginia with the shooting and the incident that went on up there, and he had to ride through that. But it's amazing how he's pulled this team together and kept them focused on being forward and moving forward with their program, and he's having to win close ball games. And I think for UVA, that's another one of those teams. Let's just shoot for a bowl season. Let's get to a winning season and do that before we think about the next thing. But awful proud of him. Still, he's going to have to win some close games. He's not going to be favored in a lot of games he's got the rest of the way down the road.
They're an underdog against Louisville. 7.5 underdog. We'll see how that game plays out. In terms of week number 7, a team that had their sights set potentially on an ACC championship were the Louisville Cardinals. They were 6.5-point home favorites to SMU and lose the ballgame, coach, 34-27. Talk to me about Jeff Brohm and this team. They're 3-2 overall. They have one conference loss. Can they get back into the mix to potentially challenge for an ACC championship?
Well, after an off week for Miami, they're going to play Louisville 2 weeks from now. We'll find out just if they have a chance. I think they would have to come close to – they'd have to upset Miami maybe to get back in the hunt for the conference championship. This is an outstanding football team. They've lost to some good people. They didn't play well once, but they're kind of like, to me, they're the Missouri of the ACC. They're a very good, solid team. They had a shot to jump up there and play for the conference championship. I'm not sure they're quite there yet, but we can wait because all we got to do is wait for them to play Miami after Miami's bye this week.
Yeah, Tyler Shuck with a 300-yard performance. Isaac Brown as well rushed for over 100 yards. Ja'Cory Brooks with over 100 yards receiving. So their big three did step up, and they still lose that matchup. When Coach and I return, we'll come.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. and there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Back, we'll talk more in terms of the week number 7 right here in terms of the Bowden Blitz. Joe Lisi, Coach Bowden, breaking down ACC week number 7. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on the Bowden Blitz ACC edition, diving into week number 7. Coach, when you look at this matchup in Winston-Salem, we have Clemson on the road as 20.5-point favorites against the Demon Deacons. Wake Forest did get the victory over NC State last week. Hank Bachmeier and that offense stepped up. They win it on the road 34-30. On the flip side, Clemson grinds out a 29-13 win in Tallahassee. They hand the Seminoles their fifth loss of the regular season. They get the win, but no cover. This is a team in terms of Wake Forest that Clemson has dominated 15 straight times. The last four meetings have been decided by a total of 14 points. Last year was 17-12. How do you see this game playing out this coming Saturday?
Well, I don't. To me, from what I've seen, I don't see any way Wake Forest can beat Clemson. In fact, I'm going with Clemson and take the points with Clemson. I just believe Clemson's going one direction. Even though they won, Wake Forest won against North Carolina State. North Carolina State has struggled, and they lost to Lafayette. They lost to Lafayette. They lost to Virginia by one. It's not a real dynamic football team with explosiveness. And Clemson's on a roll. The way Clemson is playing, ever since the first game against Georgia, they've changed their philosophy of how they're going to call plays. They're letting Klubnik just throw downfield, be dynamic, make big plays. And they've still got great talent. They've got a great defense. So I see them coming, having a great football game, because I think now they've refocused themselves on winning this dadgum conference and getting to the college football playoffs.
Now, we talked about Klubnik potentially being a dark horse for the Heisman. 14 touchdown passes, only 2 interceptions, throws another 2 touchdowns against Florida State on Saturday, 235 yards in that performance and win. And when you look at the weakness right now of Wake Forest, it happens to be that secondary. They're giving up 291 passing yards to opposing quarterbacks, more importantly, allowing 70% completion percentage. They allowed NC State to throw for 314 passing yards in that win. That has to be the recipe for Dabo and this offensive staff. Attack Wake Forest over the top.
You know that is. That's exactly what they want to do. They want to attack you over the top. You know, the way you come back and you beat teams that you're supposed to, get those explosive plays, because that demoralizes the other team, gives you quick scores. A one-play drive is a lot faster than a 12-play drive, and at times those are what you want. So I think Clemson has found out how dynamic they can be, and it goes back to when they were national championship contenders. And so that's the kind of football I think you're going to see them want to play offensively. And like I say, with the secondary of Wake Forest, I think that's the first thing you'll watch. There'll be big plays early in the first quarter to see if they can extend a lead and go out there and demoralize Wake Forest.
What can Clawson and Wake Forest do? They put up 34 points against NC State. That's a good defense, not an elite defense in regards to the conference. And Clemson right now, from a secondary perspective, holding opposing quarterbacks to only 55% completion percentage. They force 7 interceptions on the year. From an offensive game plan, what can Wake Forest do to keep that defense guessing?
Well, I think they've got a mix up. He has a great offensive style that's hard to cover. He runs the ball where he holds onto the fake a long time, can throw the RPO at the last minute. They've just got to execute their offense, because when they execute their offense, it's kind of like an academy offense. It's kind of like an option offense, because it really puts a lot of pressure on the defense, and it'll march methodically down the field. I think against a Clemson team that can score, that's the way he has a chance to win the game. He can get this into a low-scoring game. He's got a chance to stay close. They cause some nervousness by Clemson in the second half. That would be the way to do it. They've had great success running that offensive style, but this year they struggle a little bit with it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I lean to Clemson in regards to laying the points in this matchup. I also think that we do get this game potentially into the high 50s and 60s. I expect Cade Klubnik to move the football. I also expect Hank Backmeyer to have somewhat success. You see the 60.5 number. I think it is high scoring. But to your point, if Wake Forest is to potentially pull out the upset, I think it has to go under the 60.5 total, and they have to shorten the game to keep that Clemson offense on the sidelines.
That's right, Joe. Slow the game down and go under the points. But for them to win, if it's a high-scoring game, Clemson's win this game. If it's a low-scoring game, I think Clemson's Wake Forest is in the hunt in the second half.
What's the biggest change, Coach, that you've seen from Dabo and the staff in regards? They get blown out week number one, mostly in the second half by Carson Beck and Georgia. It was on a neutral field. They then rip off three straight home wins. They then go on the road and dominate Florida State. They're a different team heading into week number seven than we saw week number one.
You know, here's what I observed and watched closely. Clemson, the entire offseason, knew they opened up with Georgia. They knew Georgia was preseason ranked number one. They knew this would be the one game that could really change the way people perceive their program. They were down 6-3 at halftime. And my thoughts are that the offensive, they said, let's keep it close. Let's stay close to the vest. Let's see if we can beat this number one team. Because I think that's the way they were thinking. They weren't thinking, let's go score 50 points. And then all of a sudden, Georgia starts scoring. They got themselves so far behind, they couldn't do anything. And I think after that, they threw that game plan away. After that game, they threw it away. But that's still the way we perceived Clemson as a team that's way back the way we were afraid they were going. After that ball game, it's been, let's get it wide open. Let's keep it wide open. And that's what we're seeing now. I think a lot of that was philosophy going into the second half against Georgia. And then the entire nation was watching that game because it was early. And I think that gave us a perception that was wrong. And I think it's a situation that you've seen it each week when they play and how prolific that they are.
Yeah, Coach, let's take a look at Florida State quickly. 1-5 overall. Quick thoughts about where Mike Norvell and this program are, and can he salvage the season in regards to the next 6 weeks?
Well, I mean, you can't salvage the season as far as what the expectations were, because they were expected to play for a conference championship, and that's over. Now you've got to find a way to win a couple of more games. We already know it's not going to be a good year. They've got to win a couple of games so he doesn't lose everybody, and all of a sudden those portal transfer guys jump in the portal again, and all those NIL guys jump in the portal and leave again. Now he's got to hold on to the wins, have some late wins, because he's got to get something going in that regard, because losing can snowball just like winning can snowball.
1-5 overall. This was a Florida State team that had a 9.5 win total at the start of the year. They were plus 160 to make the college football playoff, and their big goals are now on the back burner with a 1-5 overall record. When Coach and I return, we'll break down Pitt and Cal and Notre Dame and Stanford. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
As our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering, real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on the Bowden Blitz ACC edition, Joe Lisi and Terry Bowden breaking down week number seven in the ACC. We left off talking about Clemson and Florida State. Clemson does face off against Wake Forest this week. We left off talking about Mike Norvell and the Seminoles the rest of the way. Let's turn our attention to the big one in South Bend. Notre Dame coming out of a bye week, Coach. 23.5 point home favorites over Stanford. Stanford was a big dog against Virginia Tech. They lose that matchup by a score of 31-7. They now get back on the road and head to Indiana to face off against Riley Leonard and Notre Dame. This is a difficult matchup. Notre Dame has won four of the last five meetings, but the last time they played in South Bend, Stanford won 16-14. What are your thoughts about Notre Dame Stanford this coming Saturday?
Yeah, Stanford's not going to win 16-14 this year. Notre Dame's going to win this game. Notre Dame has to win this game. If you remember, people, it's kind of like Clemson. Although the Northern Illinois game was not the first game of the season, it's the one everybody remembers. And Notre Dame knows that they can just distance themselves from that game. Keep winning football games. Be explosive. Have exciting wins and big wins. They're heading in the right direction because they, too, I think, will be a favorite in every game the rest of the year if they can beat Southern Cal at the end. So I see Notre Dame playing great football. They now realize they've got a chance in the hunt. They've had four big wins after that. I think three wins after they lost to Northern Illinois. And so I see them winning. And the question's always been, against the spread, can you pull that many points off? Stanford has played pretty solid football when they have to, but this is a Notre Dame game all the way.
I want to get your thoughts about the game plan for Notre Dame because it seems easy, right? Notre Dame wants to run the football. They're averaging 214 yards on the ground, 171 yards through the air. Riley Leonard has played good, completing 65% of his passes, but only three touchdowns, two interceptions, right? But that goes really right into the front seven of Stanford. That's only given up 88 rushing yards per game. Stanford's weakness happens to be in regards to the secondary. They're giving up around 270 yards to opposing quarterbacks. That's difficult, though, for an offense in Notre Dame that really wants to run the football first to get outside their game plan just because Stanford's secondary is weak, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know, I think some people don't realize you can't run the ball football just because you want to run it. If people put too many people in the box, they put too many numbers in the box, you get tackled by unblocked defenders, guys that you don't have enough numbers for. I think for Notre Dame, and I think they sense this too. I know Riley Leonard is a good runner. He adds the running attack to their offense. They've got to put some passing game in, and it has to be a really smart passing game. It doesn't have to be a lot, but enough on first down and second down to make the defense worry about what they're going to do. That's why I think that Notre Dame will mix their passing as much as they can with that thing that they want to do. They are a run first, pass second team, but they've got to keep the pass going so people don't load the box because Stanford will load the box. That's why they get beaten passing game so much.
Yeah, I actually liked the total in regards to this matchup. I think we sailed through the 45.5. It's a little bit of a contrarian look, but I do feel that Notre Dame will have success, and I think Stanford can put up some points in regards to this matchup. Let's look at the matchup in terms of Pittsburgh, undefeated in regards to this game. When you look at Pat Narduzzi and the Pittsburgh Panthers, they get the victory by 10 points over North Carolina. They're now home and facing a Cal team that's coming off an emotional loss at home to Miami. We talked about it. How does Cal prepare for this game going cross country to Pittsburgh, and they're catching 3.5 in this matchup?
Well, you know, they're probably taking a little bit off in practice. I would say being helmets only, rest up. They've had a tough schedule. It seems like every time we talk about a big game from Auburn on, Cal's involved in it, and that's been a tough, grueling schedule. So I would think they're going to pull back and get their kids as fresh as possible. But my thoughts are on Pittsburgh. Can you imagine how exciting that is? Because they hear what's going on. They haven't been 5-0 since 1992, and they haven't been 6-0 since 82. And I was a graduate assistant football coach at Florida State, and we played Pitt that year, and they were phenomenal. But they are in right now, they're in some uncharted waters for a while at what's going on at Pittsburgh. So I think that's a motivating factor, because all week those kids know they have a chance to take this program where they are. Everybody could think they couldn't go after last year's season because it was only 2 or 3 years they played for the conference championship. So this team has a lot going for it, and I just think they'll play a great game against Cal. And Cal does play great football, but I think Pittsburgh has so much more to play for.
And when you see the success of Cam Ward last week, 400-plus yards, you got to believe that Eli Holstein and that offense want to challenge Cal secondary over the top. Eli Holstein completing 65% of his passes, 15 touchdowns and three interceptions. They can move to 6-0 this coming Saturday. For Coach Bowden, I'm Joe Lisi. We'll see you next week on the Bowden Blitz. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.